All right, how's everybody doing? So this is Healing Soul Tour. Do another quick podcast on this one's going to be on the sorcerer shifts, the healing actually, the changes to the sword healers, and obviously the sage healers. But I don't know a lot of the sage healing terminology because I don't have a sage healer at end game with heals, so I'm going to talk about sorcs. I did say I would do this Friday night or Saturday morning, but I got a chance to get in with my sorc Thursday night with a group that I'm taking my sorc with now. Just before I get into all of this, I just wanted to make it clear that that group I'm running with is a relatively new group. Though the players are experienced, but the group itself is new, the one we raided together a couple times. And we went into Nightmare DF for the first time as a group, though we all have Nightmare DF experience. We went into the first time as a group on alts for the most part, and the gear was kind of all over the place, so it was a pretty good test for what these changes are. And for me personally, as a sword killer, I don't have the most experience anymore with my sword kill, so I was get a chance to see what those changes were and what were at times pretty healy situations given the gear of the group. Though we did just fine, we went the first three, and then we'll get Corruptor tonight, I believe. Anyways, long story short, I'm going to talk a little bit about the changes to the sword class, through the heals, to the specs, to the trees and the abilities, and tell you just a little bit of my impressions on it. So for those of you who don't know, for whatever reason, there are some pretty, I mean, really at the end of the day, I realized there were pretty big changes if you use them all. If you don't use them, I don't really think it affects you. I don't think your healing gets worse or is bad if you don't use some of these things, but you can certainly improve situational things if you do use them, is kind of what I've learned. So we'll just kind of get through it. For consumption is one of the big ones. If you use consumption off of Force Surge, which you're supposed to be doing anyways, it takes it off the global cooldown. So if you do innervate and it crits whatever and you get Force Surge, you can get up to 3 stacks. If you consume with Force Surge, that takes that off the global cooldown. That's kind of cool because it separates it and you can do it at the same time as other stuff, I'm told, because I don't keybind, so I don't do it anyways. But anything that helps people is cool with me, so that's a kind of a minor thing, but it's still really, you know, interesting for people who care about that kind of stuff. I wish they would, you know, do other things with consumption that I'll get to here in a second. The other thing was, in the tree you have what's called a reverse corruption. It's kind of high up on the tree. It's a second from the top. So reverse corruptions now lets recklessness finish the polarity shift cooldown on top of whatever else recklessness already does. But what that means is when you pop recklessness and you pair it with polarity shift, like a lot of us do, the next time recklessness comes up, polarity shift will come off of the cooldown. It'll be available again for you when you hit recklessness. So now, as a matter of practice, you should probably just use polarity shift a lot whenever it's available, and you should pair it with recklessness even the first time around, just to pair that up. And then, because if you don't use polarity shift when you use recklessness now, you're kind of wasting an opportunity to mix in more of the polarity shifts in there. And I think that's a really important thing, and I used it a couple times last night. What I did was I tested to see what benefit I can get from polarity shift and recklessness, and how many times could I use it kind of during a fight. And it was pretty nutty. But polarity shift, which if people don't know, it gives you 20% alacrity and makes you immune to pushbacks and interrupts for 10 seconds. It's more of a PvP ability for sure, but that alacrity boost for a moment there is really cool. And when you got a burst, if you pair it with recklessness, it gives you some crits and does other couple other things for you. If you pair those two together for a good bit of time there, you can do some pretty significant bursting and kind of get you out of some trouble that we got into last night. So I'll give you an example. Going into the wave 5 of Draxxus, for instance, where normally I probably wouldn't use recklessness there. I normally would use recklessness on my healer or my sorc to grant me stacks of force surge when I was really low. So I almost always use recklessness as kind of a force management ability. But because of polarity shift, and because polarity shift is really important for that part when there's a lot of bursting, the boost to alacrity is pretty significant, I just went ahead and popped recklessness to give, you know, help me out a little bit with my heals and kind of a cooldown there, and then to pair it with polarity shift. And I think that helped us get out of some jams, and the guys were really good about using their cooldowns and their mid packs for sure. But because I was able to use recklessness with polarity shift towards the end of the fight, recklessness came back up, and I was able to do that a couple of times. And because when recklessness comes back up after the minute and a half cooldown, I was then able to go ahead and grab polarity shift with that. And that really kind of made things a lot easier for me to be able to use polarity shift twice in the fight. pretty much instantly with the recklessness cooldown. I think was really, really cool. So that was a good thing for me for that fight. I used it obviously for Gropdoc as well, with the Sword Killer being casty as it is. I was able to kind of use that and be able to use Polarity Shift a lot more than I would have because of the recklessness kind of addition they did to the tree. So that proved useful. I can't wait to use it tonight when we go into Corruptor Zero to see kind of where that was going to be. The other thing was the Penetrating Darkness skill in the tree. It's just below kind of the reverse corruptions, which looks like consumption. So it's the third kind of down from the top. Penetrating Darkness gives you up to a 60% chance to make your next dark heal an instant. It also, by the way, increases your bonus heals. I kind of missed that around. It's a 6% increase to bonus heals, which is good because, honestly, Sork healers already get a lot of kind of... For some reason, we do, because of specs or whatever, we get pretty good bonus heals buff. So, like, my bonus heals on my Sork right now is 1264. And I don't have a full... You know, I'm not full anywhere near optimized for there. I mean, I have an Underworld earpiece. And what turns out to be a Underworld, kind of essentially Underworld main hand. So I'm kind of all over the place with my gear. I have a lot of Dreadmaster, all the set bonuses out of DF, and I have one of the implants, but a lot of my other gear is kind of all over the place. So to have 1264 bonus heals is pretty good, and some of that is because of the 6% boost you get now from Penetrating Darkness. But the really interesting change, and I think honestly the bigger change for Sword Healers, and the one that's really going to adjust and kind of mess with your brain a little bit when you try to figure out how to use it, is the making Dark Heal an instant. Dark Heal costs, I think it was 50 or 60. I can't read that little tooltip here, but it's a lot of force. It uses a lot of force. And previous to all this, Dark Heal was always seen as a bad heal, though I used it a lot of times instead of Dark Infusion. Dark Infusion costs less force and hits harder, but it takes forever to cast. And some of these fights in, like Palace, for instance, and Gropdoc, and a couple other fights where there's a lot of movement, you don't have a lot of time to sit and turn. So of the two, when the two options were there, sometimes I would use Dark Heal. I took a lot of crap for it from people who said that was a waste of force, and it probably is, but in that moment, I need to heal faster than I need force. I can get force back with my other stuff. So anyways, what this does now, what Penetrating Darkness does now, is it gives you, when it procs a Dark Heal, it's an instant. And it procs when using any other heal. So an easy way to do it is to use Resurgence. When you pop Resurgence, it'll kind of proc a lot. I got it a lot, and your Resurgence is a big part of the Sork rotation anyways. So for those of you who are in a mobile fight, Gropdoc for sure. There's a lot of movement, oddly enough, in Draxxus, and there's a lot of movement in Nightmare with Corruptor Zero. Brontes for sure has a lot of movement, especially at the end. Tyrans and a lot of stuff in Palace, you move around a lot for Nightmare stuff. If you see Penetrating Darkness proc, you should consider using Dark Heal right behind it. And the reason why I don't say you should use it every time is because sometimes you just don't need to waste that force, and it's not really worth a damn if you're in a fight where you can turret. So I wouldn't worry too much about it. If the group is doing pretty well health-wise, if you're doing good force-wise, and you're fine, and it's a turrety fight, like, say, Nephra, which is much more of a turret fight than the rest, I wouldn't worry too much about it. Bestia, you can kind of sit there for a little while outside of the bleeds. Once you get to the second phase, especially, I wouldn't worry about using Dark Heal every single time it's up. You're going to burn your force needlessly, but you can use it very smart, in a very smart way, by using it when you have to be on the run, because the Resurgence you can use on the run, obviously. So if you can Resurgence a tank, Resurgence whoever you need to do some heals with, and hopefully proc your Penetrating Darkness, then your Dark Heal becomes a free heal. Well, not a free heal, an instant heal. And those are pretty good healing you can do on the run while you're, you know, kind of running around getting out of trouble. And that's been one of the kind of Sork's big Achilles heels, is not being able to run and heal at the same time. Though it's a powerful class, that's been a problem. And a lot of stuff in Palace is runny and running around and doing crazy stuff. Tyrans, for instance, is a great fight for Dark Heal because of how fast people are moving, how fast the Simplification casts, and you got to get off those platforms pretty quickly to be able to have Penetrating Darkness up. I think is really good for that. So it doesn't proc every time. It's not always time when you do it, but anytime you heal somebody with something other than Dark Heal, Penetrating Darkness has a chance to proc, and then that makes Dark Heal an instant. So that's something to consider in a fight where you think there's a lot of movement. And it heals for like 7,000, 8,000, somewhere around there. So that's a pretty good hit if you pair it with Resurgence, that, and let's say a shield on the person that's falling off the Tyrant's platform. So in any moment, any situation going into a fight where you know you're going to have to do some healing on the run, or you find yourself in a real big jam, if you were to pair some of these changes up and partner some of these changes up, you can do some really good healing. So if you were to like Resurgence, Dark Heal with an instant, and then pair Recklessness and Polarity Shift, that's a lot of healing you can put out very quickly. And because of the changes now with Recklessness, you can pop Polarity Shift again later in the fight, assuming the fight's long enough for it. So these are all things that BioWare did for the PvE and PvP guys that I think if you use it really well could do some good stuff for you in PvE especially. You got to be careful though not to burn through your force a lot with Dark Heal. Don't use it every single time. But there are plenty of fights, there are plenty of instances where you're going to need to cast a mobile heal and a heal on the run to get out of stuff. Sometimes in Nephra, I realized last night when I was there running out of the circle, when it went on a tank or it went on, you know, me or the group for instance, on the way out, if I can get that Dark Heal instant to proc, I would pop it on the tank or whoever I thought needed it. And that's a good deal. And Nephra's a good fight to get force back. There's not a lot of bursts. It's just sustained damage. So it's a good way to get force back. And that's a place where I think you can kind of burn Dark Heal a little more. So just any other time you're healing, you have to know the fight. You have to know when things are going to go bad. You have to realize when you're going to have to be mobile for sword killers. That's a big thing. The big thing for sword killers is knowing when you're going to have to run around a lot and anticipating who's taking damage and who you need to shield. And Dark Heal being an instant off of Penetrating Darkness is a really interesting change and can be your friend. It could also be your enemy. So I wouldn't, you know, work it into your rotation. Practice looking at your bars. Practice keeping an eye on the thing. But eventually, what they've done with Sword Killers essentially is made us manage procs a lot more with Force, with Penetrating Darkness, and with the Force Surge. Those are two procs now you have to actively manage on your bar to be able to get the most out of the class and to be able to make decisions while you're healing. So, you know, it's something now where you have to keep an eye on that stuff and make better decisions about what you're doing. So it's just another thing to think about when you're healing. So be smart about it. Understand what these abilities mean. Understand the fight and when you can properly use them. If you are doing some kind of high-end raiding, just getting into Palace, for instance, as the buff wore off, I would go into those fights in hard mode. Do other fights in hard mode just to see what those abilities are and see where you might be able to use them. But it could be a good thing. Dark Heal being an instant can be a good thing, and it's a great option for you if in case you got to run around. Being able to take Polarity Shift back off the Recklessness thing and be able to take the cooldown off of Polarity Shift, I think is really, really cool. And you can use that to kind of cycle through your things. So you just get in the habit of anytime you use Recklessness now, get in the habit of going after Polarity Shift. So they've made us manage cooldowns a little more. They made us manage procs a little more. I don't think that's a bad thing, but it's something you definitely need to be aware of. The other thing about consumption being off the global cooldown, I mean, that's whatever. It still hurts and it still takes damage off your force, and I hate that. Force management is still a problem. The one thing I will go kind of crazy about is the PvP changes they did to the sword kills. Is the four-piece and the PvP set bonus now. It's been modified to make consumption no longer consume health when used with a stack of four surge, rather than restore 3% of max health over 6 seconds after use. So now, basically, if I understand all those words right, when you use consumption, it doesn't take your health. That's kind of cheap, honestly. That's kind of cheap because, not cheap in like it's OP, cheap in that why the hell don't PvEers get that option? And I could swap out the four set bonus, but then I'd lose the bonus, the whatever the bonus was for the two piece on Innervate. I'm going to say Innervation. It's a guild joke. Innervate, because Innervate's big. It's a big part of your rotation. To be able to get it a little faster is awesome for the two seat bonus. But I don't need the four set bonus for force. That's insane. I'd rather them have given that as well to PvP. That would be awesome. If I can get consumption to not kill me, basically, when I try to get force back, that would be great. Especially when you consider that when Sorks get rezzed, as I did last night, you're screwed. You get rezzed about far behind the curve, and you got very little force to none, and the fight's going all to hell. And now I got to figure out how to heal the rest of this fight with little or no force, and that's kind of what happened in Draxxus. We killed it. It was fine, but to be able to rez and start consuming off of proc, off the force surge proc, and not kill myself as well would be great in a lot of these fights. So I don't like that they did that only for PvP. I know they do a lot of PvP stuff that affects PvE, and I will forever be angry about that. I don't like that at all. I don't like the PvE being tied to changes they make in PvP. They're two completely different scenarios, two completely worlds within the game. It's really stupid that we're tied together that way. And it's kind of annoying and a little insulting, honestly, when they give you a really awesome set bonus for PvP when the PvEers are sitting there literally cutting themselves open to get energy back or force back. That's kind of annoying, but it's fine. Whatever. It's not like it's new to us. We've been dealing with this since 2.0. Just for people who don't know, before 2.0, we had the very exact same thing in our spec. It wasn't a bonus. It was in your spec. You can use consumption and not kill yourself at all. You can, if you use consumption the right way after a thing, you just get your force back without losing any health, and you can sit there and heal for days. Like, you literally never ran out of force. It was awesome. It was too awesome. It was too OP, I guess, and they changed it. But for some reason, they gave it to the PvP crew. So the Sorc healers now in PvP can get polarity shift twice or multiple times now. Where you don't get knocked back, you don't get interrupted. You can now get, you basically don't run out of force if you know what the hell you're doing. It's really easy to manage that. And you get another instant heal. That's a pretty good thing in PvP. I'm going to go do that a little more this weekend. I haven't even checked my PvP gear to see if I got the old set bonus. I do, actually. I got it. There it is. Cool. So I'm going to do some PvP, and I think this weekend, to kind of mess with that, and I'll talk a little more about PvP healing my next podcast, which I think I'll do this weekend. So those are my thoughts really quickly on the Sorc Healer. I think it could be really good for the Sorc class. I think it could be really good for the raid. I think it does go a little bit down the ways to make Sorcs a little more viable, and Brontes a little more viable in some of the palace fights, though I've always said that's more of a player issue than it is a class issue. But it does help us a little bit, and I can't wait to get my Sorc into a Brontes fight just to see what that's like. I do it all the time in my operative, or I try it all the time in my operative. To be able to do it on my Sorc and run around, get an instant off, pop polarity shift more often, I think that's great. I think that's super cool, and I'll look for chances to use it. You just have to be careful when you're doing the dark heal. It's easy to burn your force up a little bit. I think I might have done that a couple of times where I just used too much dark heal when it kind of wasn't needed just because it was there. I do the same thing on my Merc as well. There's an instant heal on your Merc where it drops a little scan on you. It's probably called emergency scan. And I do it all. I use it for no reason sometimes, just because it's there. When I could use my rapid shot, for instance, and save that instant heal. The instant heal is a great thing for those two classes, for Sorcs and Mercs. It's kind of the norm for operatives, but for Sorcs and Mercs, an instant heal is awesome. And you have to be smart about when you use it, both for heat and force management purposes, but more so just for situational purposes. So I think it's great. I think dark heal is a cool thing. I've always liked dark heal. I think it's great that it can be instant, but just be smart about it. And for you PvE healers, if you have Sorcs, go nuts. They boosted you in a lot of ways. They gave you a little more tools, made you a little more viable, I think, for sure, in PvP, probably for ranked as well. So have fun with that. Again, I'm going to do some more PvP on my Sorc. I'm going to have a whole PvP cast coming Sunday, I believe. I've done a lot of it this week on my Merc, on two Mercs, actually. I've done a lot of it on my operative, I usually do. And I'm going to spend the weekend hopefully doing some PvP with my Sorc to try these things out. I'll hopefully have some videos. I'm also working on the streaming schedule. I've been doing some testing between Hitbox and Twitch. Hitbox is kind of derpy. It drops a lot. It's not as stable as Twitch. And I guess Twitch got bought from Amazon. So maybe they're not going to be as evil as we thought they were. So I'm back at Twitch now. So I'll be putting out a schedule for that. So anyways, my 18 minutes. I got a minute, 2 minutes left. Just want to thank everybody for listening. The podcast is relatively well. I leave it on my Audioboo for a day or two before I put it on my site and before I tweet it out. I've had hundreds of listens on Audioboo before I even put it out. So that's cool. Appreciate that. iTunes, you can subscribe on iTunes. Leave a review, please, if you get a chance to. Otherwise, just keep an eye on Twitter. Healing Soul Tour on Twitter. Healing Soul Tour on Instagram. Healing Soul Tour on all the things social. So appreciate all the help, guys. Appreciate all the support. Appreciate all the tweets. That's it. Go try out the healing classes. Let me know what you think of the changes if you get a chance to mess with them. I think they're good, and I'm looking for more. Hope you guys are doing really well. Take care.